Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So, chatting now to Greg Vermaak, property rights attorney at Vermaak and Partners. Greg, a very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Greg, how much of a problem is this for Johannesburg, and what can the residents actually do about it?
I do think there's a bit of a definition issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 700 hijacked buildings, that's probably an overstatement. What there may be is 700 buildings in which there isn't an appropriate relationship between the occupiers and the owner. Hijackings, as we know them, were probably more of a phenomenon of 15, 18 years ago when the inner city was in steep decline. So my own view is there aren't as many hijacked buildings. There may be that number of buildings that aren't under proper management, where maybe there aren't adequate services, where there isn't a decent relationship between the owner and the tenants. But to call them hijacked, probably a bit of a push.
Greg, I mean, if the owners of these buildings had sort of just vacated and just left these buildings and squatters moved in, I mean, would that not be deemed as a hijacked building?
You know, to me, if I'm thinking about the late 90s and early 2000s, when someone would arrive with a gun, a group of heavies, and say, I'm now the owner of this building and you will pay me rent, that's what I regard as a hijacked building, i.e. a forcible armed insurrection. What's much more common since maybe 2007, 2008 is what you might call committee hijacks, where, for example, people will say, or a group of people will say to an owner, we're not satisfied with the services, we're not satisfied with the rental, we think it's too high, we're not getting enough, we're not going to pay rent until such time as you address the issue. Now, you are right. An element of that you could construe as a hijack, because it means an insurrection, a takeover from the owner. So maybe in those circumstances, one would call it a hijack.
A hijacking, yeah. And I mean, Greg, how can the city evict these illegal occupants? I mean, what is the process to evict them?
The city can't. This is the difficulty. You know, the constitution requires the city, or the state as represented by the city, to provide temporary emergency accommodation in the event that eviction would be homelessness. Now, in most instances, that will not happen. In most instances, the occupiers are not so poor that they will be homeless upon eviction. But it makes it very difficult for the city. What the owner can and should do is to bring an eviction application, cite the city council. The city will investigate to see if there is a danger of homelessness and report to the court. The court won't grant an eviction order, especially at any scale, unless the city has reported. Now, again, in most instances, the people will not be that poor that they will justify alternative accommodation from the state. But it does create a substantial delay. COVID hasn't helped. The city went quiet over COVID. They were obviously concentrating on other things. So right now, if you had to launch an eviction application in the city would tell you that if there are people who qualify for temporary emergency accommodation, it will take them 3 years to provide. Now, very few owners can bear the holding costs for that length of time. So it is a problem. It's a real problem. In fact, we're contemplating trying to push the city on that point, because in my view, anything longer than 6 months is inappropriate. So we're even collaborating with the anti-eviction NGOs to force the city to do its job.
I mean, that is quite daunting, and that it can take up to 3 years. And Greg, the city, has the city sort of made provision for social housing as such? Because, I mean, if they're homeless people or squatters that really don't have money and they can't afford anything, what would happen, do you think?
So social housing is a different thing. Social housing is, in fact, a mechanism for income earners with a relatively low income, but in truth, the lowest level is about 3,000 rand a month family income, and the highest level has now been increased to 22,000, which is not insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are talking about is what they call temporary emergency accommodation for those who would face homelessness upon eviction. And at the moment, there are several mechanisms. There are buildings the city has bought and refurbished for purpose. In truth, there are relatively simple provisions of accommodation, i.e. steel structures, shacks we call them, which is compliant with the National Housing Code for purposes of temporary emergency accommodation. The trouble is a lot of the discourse has been the distinction between temporary emergency accommodation and permanent housing. Permanent housing, as we would imagine for this demographic, would be the what we would call RDP or giveaway housing. That, of course, we know the delays there. That's probably up at 8, 9, 10, 11 years in instances. So it's a structural problem.
Absolutely. And lastly, Greg, if you as a resident, if you notice a property with squatters in or whatever,
yes.
What is the best thing to do? I mean, so it's not your place, but it's on your street or it's a neighbor, whatever. What's your advice?
Yeah. It's a real problem. Because the city is aware of its own obligations, so they're not going to look for trouble. The police are not going to be involved or become involved because they regard it as a civil issue. So technically, it may be a bylaw enforcement problem where the city would be obliged to ensure that a house isn't overcrowded, it's properly and decently occupied in the context of the surrounding houses. So one would complain to the city, to the bylaw enforcement department. I'm not sure what they would do, if anything. What we'll do is attempt to get the owner to fix the problem. The problem is, of course, the owner may not be able to fix the problem absent the provision of TEA, temporary emergency accommodation, from the city. So it becomes a circular debate. I know what we would do as attorneys, but not everyone is resourced enough to go to attorneys to fix their problem. So I'm afraid it's a real issue. And at the moment, I can tell you, absent an interdict against the owner, possibly by a group of people in the street or a residents association, there's probably not much that's going to happen. Which is, there are things you can do, of course. You can go to court, you can fix the problem. But that does depend on an element of resource, because you're going to need to go the private route.
Absolutely. Definitely a problem in this. And Greg Vermaak, property rights attorney at Vermaak & Partners, thank you so much for your insight.